Blog Talk Radio.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, the number is up on the screen. For those that want to call in, please stick to time tonight, please. We don't need to go different routes. I can stay on here a little while, but I can't be on here forever. So please make sure you press the number 1 if you want to call in and talk. Let's check this thing here. Yeah, I noticed that. You say light-skinned and biracials bang the hardest on the pro-black tip. Yeah, I noticed that. I've seen a lot of biracials. They go harder than anybody else. They hurt, like, there's a Colin Kaepernick, prime example. He has a white mother, a black father, and look what he's doing. Also, when it comes to biracials, speaking of Colin Kaepernick, any drop of black blood you have, you're black. Doesn't matter what you look like. You are black. So you got some black people that get into that argument, but that's not the show for that. But that person in that comment is right. We all black at the end of the day, right? Make sure you press 1 if you have called in. Because I can't answer the call unless you press. There we go. Someone press 1. Please, as I stated before, let's state the topic. Error code 843, you're on the show. Okay, hold on. 843, you're on the show. I don't hear you.
Yo, what up?
Yeah, what's going on, man? Speak up a little bit. Whoever hold your peace.
Yeah, man, I'm just saying, like,
hey,
I think we need to just kill all the white people.
The show behind you.
Oh, my God.
Huh?
Okay, I got to move. I ain't got that kind of time. Erico 904, you on the show?
Hi, Phil. How are you doing?
Oh, I'm doing fine. How you making it?
I'm all right. My name is Nicole. I'm from almost by 30 miles from Jacksonville, Florida. And on that topic that you're talking tonight, I was also noticing not even just more so of the black women on the outside, but I also noticed the Caucasian woman in the middle. It was like she even felt uncomfortable even sitting there. To me, if they would have really paid attention, it's like she was even repulsed that they was even sitting by there. You know, that's just my opinion. But also, as like you say, how can you really love others if you don't love yourself? And then I noticed,
right,
like you said, looking at the lady on the left, she did. She looked completely lost. She looked like she's just trying to fit in where she really doesn't fit in, you know? And it's really sad because, and especially where I'm from, I know that we have, I mean, it's not that many African Americans where we, I mean, we got the KKK, everything, you know? And, you know, it's just sad that it's still that time, that age. And then I noticed when she said, too, let me go back to that, when she was like, well, I didn't live back then, and I didn't this, and I didn't that. But you have to think, okay, your great-grandfathers, your great-grandmothers, they fought for that right for us to, you know, be free and everything else. It's like, why are they not getting that? You know, I really don't understand, you know, but
they don't want to get it.
No.
They don't
no.
want to get it. Because
no.
if you want to get it, you can get it.
Right, right, right. I do like you said, wisdom. And, you know, you can be a 60-something-year-old fool, and you can be a 20-something-year-old fool, you know. And I just noticed that, you know, about your show, that, like you said, common sense with a reproach, you know, it's just all around. It's like a lot of things that me and my husband, we talk about. And I'm like, oh, my God. I'm showing my husband. I'm like, this man, he's like, yeah, he's saying the same things you're saying. And it makes perfectly good sense for him, you know. But all I can do is pray for them sisters, you know. And like you said about them, if they came back with a genuine, you know, sorry, you know. Yeah, I'm the type. Because I'm brought up, you know, in a church. I'm brought up love and kindness have I drawn thee. So, yeah, I would. But like you say, too, at the same time, I still feed them with a long-handled spoon. You know what I mean? Because, you know, you some of them women like that, and I have dealt with women like that I have worked with, you know, they'll go be with them, you know, and be da-ka-ka-ka-ka-ka, and then turn around and put that knife in your back, you know? So, and I just want to say I really appreciate your show.
Women,
I want to hold you long, and I thank you very much, Phil.
Thanks, sister. And one thing about, let me add to something she said. One thing about those women she's talking about, I've seen this just on jobs as a black man, just because I'm a very observant person, and I'm highly analytical. I'm always trying to figure things out, study people, why they make certain moves, why they say what they say. I think people are very interesting to study. And on jobs over the years, I've always seen, if you look at that dynamic of that picture that was put up, that woman right there in the middle that she's talking about, I've always seen that a lot of the Caucasian females on jobs always took issues with the black women, even if they were like them that you see in the news piece. That's the thing that tripped me out. I don't know why they are. It's like this, I don't know if it's a competition, hate, cattiness. I don't know what it is, but it's like intense stuff that be going on between black women and Caucasian women, especially in the area of jobs. But let's go ahead and get back to the, let me see. What error code did I just answer? Error code 904, you on the show? Erico 904?
Phil, I think I'm still on with
you. Oh, sorry. Sorry, sister. I didn't realize that was your phone. Sorry. Erico 702, you on the show.
Hello, Phil. This is Ayana. And I haven't watched the whole live video yet. I just got on. But I just want to answer your question on why you believe dark-skinned people happen to be more sell-off than, you know, mixed or lighter-toned people, lighter-toned black people. And I think a lot of it has to do with perspectives. You know, everybody grows up differently. Sometimes there are dark-skinned people who, you know, they grow up feeling neglected or feeling like they're always intimidating people, and so they really want that acceptance from the white race. So sometimes they do sell out. Sometimes they do, like, say all this types of stuff just so they can still have white friends and be accepted and be popular. And then other times it has to do with the community they grow up in. I know when I grew up in Colorado Springs, it was like 91% white, and it felt like there was no racism. And coming down to Chicago, back to Chicago to visit my family, I started to understand that racism still exists. But I had the opportunity to live both worlds. Like some black people, they don't have the chance to live both worlds. Sometimes they just live around white people all the time to the point that they think like white people. They have more of a white culture than a black culture. And there's other times where I feel like lighter toned people or mixed people, they get it because, you know, they're accepted more by the white community. They don't have to really go through that feeling of intimidating somebody because they're dark skinned or having to be overly polite because white people view them as less intimidating. So they can speak their mind more than dark skinned people, and they don't have to have that fear too much. So that's what I think, in my opinion.
Okay.
Did you get that?
All right. I got everything you said. I'm just taking it. I'm soaking it all in like a sponge.
All right. That's all I have to say, Phil. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. All right. Let's see here. Area code 737, you on the show.
Yeah, Phil. One of the things I really, you got to talk about when you use that word sellout, man, is that the point of the meritorious manumission, like Brother Claude talks about, man, you know, there was that value there that was given to us if we were willing to throw each other under the bus, you know, and that's that part that we gotta overcome that first, and that the idea of just creating a group of people together that are focused on what movement we have, we can attract those that are willing to sell out and show them the value in us, so that they don't go looking for that exterior the validation from the other side.
Right. So what steps should we take as a community to prevent that from happening?
Well, you know, it's really just being, you know, let's get our money up. Let's get an economy going that's specifically black focused. And with that being there, that's something that we can have on our own, that we don't have to worry about having everything that they sell to us on a daily basis. We can recreate and sell under our own name. It don't matter. They patents, they copyrights and all that stuff. If they don't want to buy it, then don't buy it. But everything we can do ourselves.
Well, I agree with that. I preach that all the time, doing it for self. But let me give you an example. Let's put me in the mix, right? Because
yes,
when we
sir.
Get to certain positions, these folks try to come at you certain ways. And
yeah,
you know, I told this story on Patreon, how them folks tried to come at me behind the scenes. And if I was
mm-hmm.
about, you know, some money, then I could have took that deal. But I'm not. So there are some people that aren't strong enough to say, I live more on my principles, and I'd rather the people support than those folks support. So, you know, what happens is you can get angry. Like, let's say in business, right? Let's talk about business. You can have that
right.
black-owned business. And you, like, you were thinking, you going into it, just, oh, I got a black-owned business. I want to just offer, you know, things to our community. And then when our community don't come through, when our community look at you like, who she thinks she is or who you think he is, I'm not helping them. I'm not helping her. And it can rub people the wrong way, and then they say, well, shoot, forget it. Then folks give me that money, so I'm going to take it. So what do we do to prevent that from happening?
Yeah, well, you know, it's all about knowledge itself. You know, that communication from Malcolm when he was getting interviewed by the FBI, ultimately their dollars is falling every day. People are dumping money left and right into all these cryptocurrencies and everything because there's no government behind it and there's no white supremacy structure. And so it don't matter. If your love is in yourself and you don't have to worry about jealousy of your own, because if you know that once these structures get built, Phil, you're gonna employ tons of people to interview, to report, to produce it, and they're gonna be just as black and just as focused as you are. And so the idea of hating each other because of what somebody else is doing successfully or what they're not doing successfully, that's it's pointless now. It's 2017. It's that mindset got to be done. It's got to be thrown under the bus, man, because we have to know that nobody's giving us nothing. They never have and they never will. But if we work together, we build together, then nobody can stop us. With that mindset, then we don't have to worry about what they want to hand out to us, because we can hand it out to each other.
All right, brother. Appreciate you calling the show. Everything he just said, yes, that is the truth in principle. But what was the problem we have in this execution of that? That's our biggest problem. It seemed like a lot of us don't want to roll up our sleeves and do the hard work. Area code 323, you're on the show.
Yeah, how you doing, Phil?
Good.
Yeah, you know what? I have a personal experience. I have a son who I part raised him, and mother partly raised him, and he's pretty much, at one time, he pretty much was a coon.
Mm-hmm.
He actually went into the service, and he married a white woman. He called me, told me, then I saw a picture of her, and I was like, damn, this, all she is white, about 300 pounds. Well, to get a little backdrop on me, you was talking about somebody who was in the nation. To make a long story short, he was hanging out with some white guys in the service, and they got in a lot of trouble. Come to find out, when I read the transcripts and found out everything that was going on, he was just in for the ride. they got a slap on the hand. They threw the damn book at him. That was my opening to get him to understand that he really was black. That really is a difference. And what happened was he went into, after he was kicked out, he went into somewhat of a depression. And one day we was driving through, was going through a drive-thru, and he sees some white dudes. And I watched this dude transform. So I checked him about it, and I constantly started working with him, and I kept showing him. And I looked back through his life. We did like a little autopsy of his life, and I kept showing him every time his interaction with them was different. To make a long story short, he is giving up cooning, but it's a process. And the one thing I noticed was there was some things that his mother did that I had a problem with. I was literally the first black man she dealt with. This is a black woman. And she's listening to rock and roll.
That's problem number
music.
One.
Music. And I confronted her about it. And I was explaining how important culture is. To make a long story short, though, cooning is somewhat of a mental illness, a overappreciation of white people, and fear. And that's just what I believe. I believe it is a deep appreciation of your own people, while because most coons will defend that white person that they hold in high respect more than they would an entire black race.
Well, let me ask you a question about
your son. Go ahead.
Let me ask you a question about your son. What did, in your opinion, his mother was putting in his head to screw him up? Just so people could know what you were getting at her about. Like, give us some instances.
Well, for instance, she had, and it's not, I couldn't blame her, but it goes back to her father and her brother literally was trying to, when I finally sat down and we finally talked, she didn't tell me this, but her experience with them was so negative. I don't know if it was a biological father or her father. They tried to rape her. And the family was totally disjointed. So when you got a family that's disjointed, the dominant culture will step in and give you a narrative. And they'll give you, I mean, she told me some pretty wild stuff. She didn't tell me this before we got married, but after that. And now if you talk to her, she's like, she has another daughter, and she's like, I mean, damn, you think this was Sister Soldier talking to you now. So she's made a mouth. She's moved on to a different stage. But, you know, we're not together. But
well,
the
you
point
know,
that I'm
well,
making.
You know people like that? Like what you're talking about, those who were cooning and then they finally come to the knowledge of the truth, they usually are like that. They probably more like Sister Soldier, Shahrazad Ali, more than anybody else. You know,
no, I think I don't mean to cut you off, but I think there's a point where coons get skinned. And when they get skinned, that's when they're forced to change. The nakedness of white supremacy, racism shows its head. Can I say one other thing? It's related to that, but one of the things that really damaged a lot of black people's psyche as they were raising kids, I'm 57. I was the first generation to integrate a school. That was the biggest mistake we ever did. The mass education we got of you ain't manure. Trust me, that decision to integrate, to take children, I was in second or third grade, to put them in Alabama, to put them in that type of environment, totally. And from that, most of the people I went to school with are certified grade A coons, and that was devastating. And some of their children, to this day, the self-hate is still there.
To me, just listening to you say that, I'm thinking about, like, okay, it was my child, and my child was growing up around nothing but the black community. And now my child is being forced to go to a whole different community, a hostile community that don't like, you know, her. and I'm going to have to put her there. That's psychologically damaging to do that. When you know the environment is horrible, so much so, they got to have FBI and police escort the child. Why would you do
well,
that?
Well, it's even worse than that. We came from an all-black loving environment where everybody took, I remember, everybody took care of the kids when I was a kid. And I remember the identity, everything. And to this day, I still, when I go home, I live in Los Angeles now, I drive by there, I still have memories of it. And now I talk to other people, they have memories of it. But that was one of the most damaging effects. And that's why I'm a staunch opponent of integration, because here's the people who had not even healed from a rape, and then they go back to their rapist to teach me. That's totally insane. That's cooning. In the highest form, a whole nation of black people coon. Cooning is about not standing on your own, not going for your own. You know, and for
yeah.
us, we still ain't figured out if we want freedom or if we want white people. I don't
yep,
want to take up all your time.
That's the only decision people got to make. Well, I appreciate you calling, bro. Thank you.
All right.
You know, as a father, just hearing another father say, "Hey, you know, my son was a coon." I mean, that's brave to admit that publicly. And you know, he kind of reminded me of like my family. If you're doing something wrong, they're going to call you out. They're not going to sit up there and sugarcoat it. And, you know, one of the worst things you ever want is your child to grow up doing some things like that. Let's go to the next caller here. Air code 817, you're on the show.
What's going on, Phil? It's Jermaine, man. How you doing?
What's going on, Jermaine?
Oh man, not a whole lot, man. I caught the show, man. It's kind of funny. It seems that the coon train is getting very, very full, very, very populated. Because now, LaShawn McCoy is the newest passenger on the coon train, from what I heard.
Mm-hmm.
And he jumped down and said that he thinks that Colin Kaepernick is not good enough to be in the league, and he's not worth the distraction.
You know how that goes. In that moment, he was being the buttermilk biscuit sellout or coon, whatever you want to call him. That's basically the behavior he was exhibiting.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And I think it's kind of funny that he should mention that when he himself has not sniffed the Super Bowl. Number one. Number two, evidently he hadn't taken a real good look at the quarterback situation for the Jacksonville Jaguars. Blake Bortles or Chad Henne, really? You're gonna really say he's not good enough, and you're looking at them two? And then we got Indianapolis with Andrew Luck. Nobody knows when Andrew Luck is even gonna take the field. But
let me ask you a question. I hear you quoting a lot of quarterbacks in NFL. Are you boycotting the NFL? Or are you watching?
My support is already, because I can tell you right now, my support is already waning anyway, because I'm sitting back trying to see which quarterback going to fall and who's going to be next to see if Cap going to get a job, because that's my point.
So you watching the games, or are you looking at, you know, highlights? Online.
I'm kind of watching. I'm going through ESPN, looking at some of the news, see like what training camp's coming through, what quarterback's going to go down.
Okay, so you're not watching
stuff
the game.
About. I'm not watching the games per se. No, I'm just peeking in on some of the news, some of the highlights, because they kept talking about like Andrew Luck supposed to be back, but there's no timetable on his return. I'm like, okay, so when's Cap gonna get the call? And then I'm hearing stuff about Johnny Manziel. If Johnny Manziel or Tim Tebow turns around and get a call before Cap, man, cancel every NFL, any NFL-related program at that point, because that would be a flat-out slap in the face. It's already reached that point now, but you're talking about the further disrespect, that would do it. But if Manziel or Tebow get signed before Cap, it's a wrap then. As far as I'm concerned, it's done.
All right, but brother, thank you for calling the show. Before I let you go, the people in the comment section saying you watching games on the low. That's what they're saying. So I don't know. You want to holler at them about that. But anyway, man.
Oh.
All right. Let's see. Erico 202, you're on the show.
Hey, what's going on, Phil?
Oh, I'm good. What's going on?
Not too much. I just want to say I really appreciate your show. This is Rashida. I'm calling from Washington, D.C. And as far as the sports he's talking about, I mean, I'm not watching football until there's justice, because what's going on is just craziness. As far as Coons, I saw your interview with Jesse Lee Peterson, and I was a little disappointed that you did not destroy him. I can't stand that Coons,
let's
man.
Back up. Hold on, let's back up here for a minute. It amazes me when I hear people say destroy. Some people, I notice when people say destroy, it could be yelling, screaming, name calling. I mean, if you know anything about Jesse Lee Peterson, it's like beating a dead horse. I can get more out of the wall than I can get out of Jesse
Lee
Peterson.
Listen. He even calls himself an Oreo. What does he say? He says he's white on the outside and black, white on the inside and black on the outside. But he's one of the worst. And as far as Christy Coons, I would say Tommy Sotomayor. I really think
okay,
these
well,
people are doing.
I don't want to hear his name on my platform, please. Don't mention his name on my platform, please.
Okay. But as far as the Coons that I see, especially on the YouTube platform, I mean, there's a whole lot of them, and sometimes I wonder if they're even saying, if they even mean what they're saying. Or if they're just doing this for money or, you know, for views or something like that. Because, I mean, it's just utter ridiculousness. And also,
yeah, well, you know, with situations like that, I don't have the kind of time to really pay attention to what people say on their channels like that unless I like what you do. Because if it's a YouTube channel that I think is negative, I just don't watch it. I don't. That's kind of how
I love your channel. And from Washington, D.C., I got a lot of love, and I appreciate what you do.
I appreciate you calling.
Okay, thank you.
All right, let's see here. Erico 647, you on the show.
Hey, Phil, what's going on, brother?
What's going on?
Man, I'm just hanging out, man. To this point, man, I agree with all the points that I'm hearing on the show today. And just to stay on topic, this is just another example of just how strong supremacy, the white supremacy is, you know what I'm saying? To the point where it's ingrained in our brains, to the point where we feel like in order for us to feel accepted or in order for us to get a check, we have to abandon who we are, you know, under social status with our own black people. We have to abandon that and be a person when we go to work.
Your phone's breaking
up. Can you hear me now? Can you hear me now?
Well, yeah, I just want the people to hear, you know, what you have to say.
I'm just saying the supremacy is just crazy. Like, at the end of the day, like, the moon train is going up, and I just hope that we could save each other, because in reality, no one's going to save us. So I just want to say that, and I want to thank you for your show and your platform, because at the end of the day, we need as much as this is possible. Everybody support Phil on Patreon. We need as much as possible. You feel what I'm telling you?
Yeah, brother, I appreciate you calling. Thank you very much. Let's see, go to the next caller here. Erico 202, you're on the show.
Phil, I disagree with you 100% about Stephen A. Smith. He is not a coon. And I would just like you to give me one example to demonstrate that he's a coon.
Back up who?
I disagree with you 100% that Stephen A. Smith is not a coon. And I just want to get an example from you to demonstrate that he's a coon. He's not.
Tell me why he is.
First of all, he did not support Trump. Number two, he has spoken on many
Donald
different
Trump.
Issues.
Stop. I didn't mention Donald Trump as a basis to what I said. Donald Trump had nothing to do with it.
Okay, but if you look at Stephen A. Smith's history, he has spoken every issues. He has spoken of police brutality.
Oh, and?
He has spoken of, and to prove my point to you that he's not a coon. I mean, everybody you mentioned that you talked about, yes, I agree with you 100%. It's a coon. But Stephen A. Smith is not a coon. And I just want to know one example from you that demonstrates that he's a coon.
Hold on. Let's go let's look at everybody else is disagreeing with you. I'm looking at the comments.
Can I get an
right
example?
Now.
One example.
I think I gave enough examples. If you think that's what you think. I'm not about to play that right now. I mean, you disagree, you disagree. Thank you. All right, let's move on. Erico 785, you on the show?
Hello?
You on the show?
Hey, how you doing, Phil? My name's Khalid. I'm calling all the way from Scotland, man. And
oh, that's pretty good.
I watch your show all the time, man, and I really appreciate the effort that you're putting in, man. And you know, for me, I like to look at it from a perspective, right? When it comes to cooning, you know, I'm more interested in the impact that it has on our people rather than just looking into, you know, just trying to heal coons or trying to stop coons from being coons. And for me, it's kind of like, you know, I feel like we need to accept that until we reach the goals that we want to reach or until we get to where we want to get, coons are always going to exist. And we don't need to put that in front of us to make that an object of our, of our success, meaning that we need to get rid of all coons or we need to stop everybody from cooning before we can possibly move towards making some progress as a people and as a nation. So
Who's saying that we need to stop? I'm not saying that you are or anyone else.
I suppose I'm speaking from my own personal experience. I'm speaking from a personal experience and sharing something that I struggle with, you know, more than anything. I can only speak from my own perspective, you know. I can't speak from anybody else.
Hold on.
I know for
hold
me,
on.
One
so
of my struggles.
Hold on, bro. Hold on. Slow down so people can hear you. So you're saying that you're trying to stop people from cooning it up before you become successful in your life?
No. What I'm saying is that one of the struggles that I find that myself and a lot of black people have is that we focus so much on you know, the fact that there are coons, and we feel like there's no way that we can be successful as long as we see people cooning, rather than getting together and working together with people who are not cooning. You know, cooning has such a deep impact on us as a community. When we see another black person cooning, it harms us and it hurts us so much that it can disrupt our progress and our focus, you know, a lot of the time. So what happens is...
I promise you, it don't hurt me at all. It just gets on my nerves. It's annoying, and I just shake my head. But, you know, I don't focus my time on them. I think more about the good people you're talking about and what we can do to progress. But I appreciate you calling, man, and thank you for calling the show.
Okay.
All right, let's go to the this person. Who is this? Area code 832, you're on the show.
Hello?
Yeah, 832, you're on the show.
Oh, hey. This is my first time calling in. I'm kind of nervous, but I'm going to go ahead and get through it. I'm not really...
Okay. I guess you're not really nothing. It hung up. Erico 404, you on the show.
What's going on, brother? This is Jeremy from Atlanta.
Oh, what's going on, brother? What's on your mind?
Just cool, man. Hey, I think that one of the honorary mention categories that you put out about cooning should have made it into the top five. That is the, you know, old coon. Or, you know, to crossbreed that coon, it would be the old, I got mine, you got to get yours coon. To watch that interview that Andrew Young, former mayor of Atlanta, man that marched with Martin Luther King, that interview he did on Meet the Press, if I could have went through my phone and grabbed him around the neck, I would have. Like, bro, what are you doing?
I heard about
Please.
It.
Please.
I heard about it, but I haven't seen it. If I see it, I'm pretty sure I'm going to respond to it. I haven't watched it yet.
My brother, the man was sitting there talking about how we should love the Klan. And there are poor white folk out here, too, and all this good stuff. Brother, you got yours. I understand they got to you. They gave you a little money. You was mayor of Atlanta. You got yours. Please, take go somewhere and retire. Go find you a lake to go fishing. Go find a cabin. Go do something because, you know, this struggle needs to be led by young people. You're old, man. I understand you don't want to rock the boat. My dad is the same way. I was talking to him, you know, weeks before this, and he kind of made me mad. I almost hung up on him. Well, he was just, well, son, you know, I'm talking to him about black problems now, and he's like, well, son, you know, you don't want to get in no trouble now. Don't go out there and do anything rash. Look, you know, with all due respect to my dad, he's on it. He's got his Social Security. He's got his Medicaid going. He just don't want to rock the boat. I'm sorry. I'm tired of being on this boat. I'm one of the people that is not looking for a shade tree on the plantation. I want off the plantation, period. And those kinds of coons with the whole, you know, I got mine, you got to get yours. They're feeding misinformation into the community from that standpoint. They got theirs because of a specific set of circumstances that were taking place back in the 60s and 70s when you could quit your job, I mean, quit school in the fourth grade and go on and get a job in the factory somewhere, and you could build yourself a nice little life off of it. Life don't work like that no more. You can go get 50 degrees and still wind up working at McDonald's nowadays. So, you know, feeding that misinformation into a child, and, you know, the whole Bill Cosby thing, pull your pants up and people will respect you more and all of that. I've never seen Obama sagging his pants. They hate him.
Exactly. It's not, you know, it's not the clothes, it's who you are they hate.
Exactly. They hate you because you are you. No other further reason. You're black. That's it. That's all they need to see. You're hated. And one quick thing, to the people that are, you know, just can't give up the NFL, here's what you can do to get your NFL fixed and also hurt them. Watch the games online. Go to a pirate website. I won't give out any names, but there are a few of them out there. And go to a pirate website, watch the game online. Make sure you tune your TV channels into some obscure channel way up the list some doggone way while the games are on. And that way they don't get the ratings from the TV and you still get to have your NFL fixed.
I guess if you want to watch me, I don't even want to see none of it, not even that way. But
I mean, I don't. I'm not watching either. But if that's what you got to do,
I
understand. Go ahead.
I can watch college football, and that's what I tell people. They got college football you can go watch. Watch high school football. I mean, shoot, support the local kids in your area. Don't go watch it's Friday
that's,
night.
That's what I'll be doing. And I don't even watch college football anymore because of the fact I don't like the way that, you know, the student athletes are treated. Due to, you know, you're making billions of dollars for this school, and if you can't even go get a job at Burger King, you'll lose your scholarship. You can't do anything that makes money or you'll lose your scholarship. Meanwhile, this school is making billions of dollars off of you. The minute you break your leg or something, they rescind your scholarship and you're out of there. And a lot of the time, especially when it comes to football, those kids are there with hopes and dreams of making it towards the NFL. So they're not even in school really for that quote-unquote education that they're getting because that's a bunch of bull, too. Like I said, you can go in there and get those degrees and wind up working at McDonald's still. It happens to a lot of them.
Yeah, I hear you, brother. Brother, thank you for calling. I appreciate it. Let's see here. Let me go down. I saw somebody else here I need to get to. Let's see here. I was working on getting down this call list, ladies and gentlemen. Let me see here. 30 minutes. Air code 832. You on the show?
Hello?
Yeah, you on the show. What's going on?
Not much. On the topic of there are some type of sellouts that that come into the country, for example, the Latinas. some of them try to act white. Some of the Latinos trying to act white to get into as like black people. Some of them. And some of them voted for Trump as well. One time I come across.
Oh, shoot. Hold on. Sorry about that. It came across and did what?
I came across a sign saying Latino for Trump.
Yeah.
And then some people, and then sometimes I ask myself, you voted for this man, but have you actually listened to what he say on the television about Latinos, about building a wall and stuff like that? But
okay.
Most of them voted for him because they think they're getting certain.
Okay, bro, not to cut you off, but I appreciate you calling us. You're going somewhere else that we don't need to go. Callers are waiting.
Erico
951, you're on the show.
951?
Yeah.
What's up, Phil? I've been listening to you for a very long time, but I was just listening to the show, and I appreciate about the sellouts, the five sellouts and everything else, but I wanted to talk about that one dude that pretty much was talking about Stephen A. Smith, and you,
mm-hmm.
This is a very good example of but how he basically explained how Stephen A. Smith is, and he was trying to ask for examples. And, like, the biggest example when Stephen A. Smith was trying to admit that racism don't exist.
Yeah, I can't stand when they, who else said that? Jesse Lee Peterson said that, too. Racism don't exist.
Yeah, I know. I'm like, wow, this dude is really retarded because he really just did his research. He'll find that out on like a YouTube video or anything. So, explain it out.
Yeah, I hear you, bro.
That was a perfect example. That's all I wanted to say.
All right, bro. Thank you for calling the show. Appreciate you. Let's move down the list. Got this person move. Erico 757, you on the show.
Yeah.
Hello, you on the show.
Hey, Phil, what's up? This is Tina, but I'm the Black Native. I've been watching you for so long, and it's just like that video footage that you showed earlier. It literally was like what I was going through at my job, working in corporate. I had to leave because of the issues with Black women and white men, Black women and white women. It's just the dynamics are crazy. And I actually was thinking about...
Sister, you mind turning down... Sister, you mind turning down whatever you got going in the background? Because it's coming across the feed.
Okay. Hold on. Let me see. Okay. Can you hear me now?
Yeah. You're good.
Okay. So, I've been watching you for years. I put my mother on to you. She watches you when I'm not there, and she talks about you to me. But the issue that that you were showing that video footage of, I just actually was having a conversation about that with my mother about how white women have issues with black women, and it's always like a dynamic where they're still in control and you're playing this type of submissive role to them, and if you don't play the role, then you know they have a problem with you. And they also have issues when two women or black people are like congregating, like maybe in a lunchroom or whatever, just having a conversation. They're always like, hey, what are you talking about? What's going on? They want to find out.
Yeah.
And it's just
to
the point where I worked for corporate over 15 years, and I wound up just leaving and going to culinary school and trying to start my own business. And then I had to go back because I didn't have investors, and it was just a big mess. And, you know, that's the truth, literally. And so that video footage, it just hit it right on the nose with me.
Well,
but I'm glad I spoke to you,
Oh, well, I'm glad you called. I appreciate you.
I'm glad you spoke, and keep up.
Oh, well yes, thank you. I will. I'm sorry. I was just trying to get through here. We got to move on to the next caller. Area code 931, you're on the show.
Hey, Phil. I want to take this time for you to educate me. I'm a 24-year-old mixed male.
Well, I don't know if I can educate you, but let's go.
Sir?
Go ahead. Yeah, I don't know if I can educate you, but let's go.
I was raised by my white family. Most of my friends were black. And I identify as a mixed male, not black nor white. But some of my black friends have a problem with that. So I went and looked up, you know, maybe there's a law or something. Jim Crow law states that when identifying a black male, it's any male with any amount of black blood in him, African-American blood in him. And I don't identify with a racist Jim Crow law. Is that a problem?
For you, it's going to be.
Why is that?
Because that Jim Crow law that you're talking about, that you researched, that's how Caucasians will identify you. Are Caucasians in power?
Yes, sir.
Do they make the law?
Yes, sir, but many people
over... Do they
control
the military? Hold on. Do they control the military?
Yes, sir.
And they control the banking system? They control the resources? They control it all. So now, because they're in control, is really what they say to a point. Now, you could say, I don't identify as being black, but at the end of the day...
I'm not dissing either race. Like,
I love
both sides of my family.
I didn't say you were. I didn't accuse you of that. I'm just saying, in the world you're living in, I'm not saying don't love your mama or whoever she may be, or love your daddy.
Right.
I ain't saying nothing. I'm not saying don't love your family. But in this world, you are a black man. And the quicker you accept that, the quicker things will be better for you.
But I can't be the voice of because I have my own, me and my cousin, we have our own podcast that we're starting. Going through all the education that we're finding out, whether it's about the actual American national anthem and Jim Crow and the Democratic Party, this anything we can put out to educate, you know, the masses. That's how we're trying to make our voice different. And I want to identify, and I want to make all the mixed races say, you know, it's okay to be you. You don't have to identify with something that somebody tells you to be. It's okay to be you. And I just want to know if that's okay from an educated black man.
Well, you know why you're asking me, is that okay? Because you're not comfortable saying what you're saying. Because you're comfortable saying what you're saying.
Right,
feel about that, you wouldn't be asking about it.
Well, I value your opinion, but I'm going to identify as a mixed man. I just want to know, would you, as an educated black man who knows far more than I do, because I'm only 24 years old, I haven't seen the world that you've seen, I haven't studied what you studied, so that's why I'm valuing your opinion. I would just like to know, you know, do you think one day I could be seen as what I am? Just like you could be seen for what you are, just a man, not identified as a black man, but a man first.
Hey, let me ask you a question. What do they say about Colin Kaepernick?
Hey, they call him black, just like they call Barack Obama black, and just like they call Derek Jeter black.
Okay, that's two people who have white mothers. And you see how they treat them. Look at the call. And they know President Obama had a white mother. They still called him monkey. They still called him the N-word. They still called him everything they would call me with two black parents. And President Obama said many times that he identifies as black. This country that you live in is going to make you identify as black. You don't have to do what you want to do. You're young. I get it. I'm not mad at you. But what I'm telling you,
yes, sir,
as an older brother, this country is going to make you realize some things, and you're going to have to accept some things whether you like it or not. Do what you want. Your podcast ain't got nothing to do with what I'm talking about. We're talking about on a personal level. This country is going to show you who you are, a black man. You don't have to accept it, but I'm telling you that's the reality you're living in.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate all that you do, and keep up the good work.
All right, man. I hate to put it to him like that, ladies and gentlemen, and I hate to put it, but I'm not going to sit here and tell him a lie. like that. Well, he's asking me a genuine question about, I understand he may love his mama or whoever it is that's not black. I'm not telling him not to. I would never tell nobody not to love your mother or your father, whoever that may be. I would never tell you not to love your family. But in this world, in this United States of America, no matter how light-skinned you are, no matter how curly hair that you may have, or you may look racially ambiguous, you are not them, and they will view you as black. Period. In this world, accept things for what they are, and then deal with them accordingly. All right, let's go to the next caller here. Erico 225, you on the show?
Yeah, what's going on, Phil?
What's up, bro?
Yeah, I was just wondering about the top five coons and sellouts you were talking about. And the other one I face every day is the Cheryl Clark one.
What about Cheryl?
Yeah, that's the one.
The angry coon.
Oh yeah, I face that one every day. I work with this coon every day. Like he trying to get everybody fired. Quickly, he runs straight to the tail mouth for everything. that's the angry coon right there. That's the Cheryl Clark.
Yeah.
He trying to get all those fired. Be the main one. Oh no, that's gonna get trouble. Now, I know what y'all talking about. That's a coon. And I remember a while back when you made a video, you did an interview with this dumbass coon. What's her name? Bernie 66? Oh, Lord, that's the dumbest coon.
Yeah.
That was the dumbest coon. What got me about that damn dumb fucking coon when she said these police shootings.
All right, let's try to watch the language, sir.
Well, I'm sorry about, you know, I'm sorry, but you got to keep it clean. But what makes me mad about that coon when she said these police shootings are hoax? I'm like, the more you coon, the dumber you are. I'm like, Lord, Ellis.
Well, something has to really be wrong with you to identify with a group of people that's not your own. You are in black skin every day. You deal with everything that black people have to deal with, but yet you want to be and you're trying to be another group of people. That's like, not, we
right.
would look at, if we walked outside and we saw a cat trying to bark and a cat trying to chase other cats, like a dog would chase a cat, or a cat trying to eat a bone, or a cat trying to piss on a fire hydrant, we'd say, what the hell wrong with that cat? That's a cat. That's not a dog.
Right.
We look at that as
right.
crazy. But we don't look at
right.
people,
but like,
crazy.
Like you said it, like, well, you said this in your video every time I watch you. In the white man's eyes, you're still an in. So no matter what you do, you're still an in at the end of the day.
Right.
And, you know, so, you know, like when you did an interview with Jesse Peterson, I was like, oh, Lord, man, this dude here. I don't know how you did it, Phil, but it rules me. I don't think I would have lasted an interview that long. That would just say, Now, that's one thing I like about Cynthia G when they went off for Jesse Lee Peterson and Bernie 66. I was like, this coon here is very dumb.
Well,
I'm like,
Cynthia has a different personality than I have, but when I do certain things, I have my reasons why I do certain things. Like with Bernie Tree, for instance, I knew why I brought her on, and I wanted her to talk. That's why I didn't interrupt her unless I felt it was just really ridiculous. Because sometimes you need to let a person talk and let them express themselves so you have a record of what they said, and then you could take time to analyze it, to dissect it, or we can go back and say, see, that's how they think. Now, if I go off and cut them off, then we won't really get how deep the rabbit hole goes.
Right. Just like I was talking to this other guy the other day, and I knew he was cooning when he was saying this. He said when he was telling me, he was like, I was telling him about this little Charlottesville thing about the little statue and all that. He was like, oh well, if you don't say nothing about the statue, you just act like you for them, and they don't, they still don't treat you better than anybody else. I'm like, okay, all right, I guess, you know, like you, well, that's a different topic, but like I say, you know, like you said before, we coons need to have their own little territory, and I got a group called God Supremacy, and we, you know, I'm working on a movie called Coons in the Hood, because it's basically where they come from, coons in the hood, you know. Hello? Hello?